Recorded live.
This is William Fink, and this is February 18th
at
12 noon, and this is the Christogenia European Fellowship call. Hello.
Yeah.
Hello, Matthew.
Hello.
Hello, Jim.
Oh, hello.
How are we today?
Everybody stand by.
I saw Alan Fadler in the forum a few minutes ago, but I think he probably got knocked off again.
He's coming back.
We did remind him about it.
Okay, well, he's a busy guy, you know. I mean, he has to work for a living, too, right?
Yeah.
And the poor. Yeah, and Judith, where is with TATV? Alan Fadler's there.
I'm sure she'll be here.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah.
Chris, I got another letter. I got a letter in the mail from that person in question that's been harassing me. It's all going up on my website. It's every bit of it. When I get back, I'm going to take all the emails. I'm going to put them on Christogenia. I'm going to put them on my forum. I'm going to put them on a new Ensign site. I'm going to take the material she sent me and scan it and put that up on my site. I'm going to mention her by name, and she could go straight to Hades. She's trying to sham me. This has nothing to do with the author of the works. I know it. She sends me a letter. Yeah. She threatens litigation. She never signs the letter. It's handwritten. It's partially typed and partially handwritten. It's absolutely terrible. She sends me a couple of copies from some books. Anybody could do that. I told her I didn't want to hear from her unless I had affidavits proving that she has rights to the material in question. I get my affidavits, I'll think about taking the material off my site. And I told her that if I heard from her without that I would put everything up on my site, and I'm making it all public. When I get back, it's all public.
Yeah,
because the last one you sent me, she apologized to you.
Well, she thinks she's slick, right?
Yeah.
She thinks she's smart, and she's just being an idiot, and I'm going to make it all public. Harassment from Richard Porter's niece, and that's the article, and it's all going up on my site. I'm not standing down for nobody. I'm not standing down for the whole BIWF or for anybody.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. Is the dog ill on that side?
Excuse me, Matthew.
I hear the dog is coughing.
Oh, yeah. That's
Chris's dog.
That's Trixie, yes.
She wanted to have a chat, a bit of a conversation herself, I think.
Yeah. She's trying to speak.
She says, I'm here
so
as well.
I've been ignoring her.
Just give her a few pettings of me. That's silent. Yeah. How crazy is that? So it is.
Sorry, Matthew. Did you mention to Bill about that email you sent about the Maccabees and the Ark?
Well, it can just start. It's just the whole point. Bill, I did send you an email, a one-side email.
Yes, you did, Matthew. I looked at it and I tagged it, and I have 800 emails, and I'm sorry it just didn't hit the list yet for priorities. I'm sorry. I have 800 emails in my inbox. That's after I get rid of the garbage. I got rid of all the garbage. There's no junk there. I'm sorry.
Fellow. Yeah. Now, the point of view is because Eli and you advised us to have a look at the Apocrypha bookworks and for the Maccabean Department of it. So I did, and I was reading it, and I had the first one Maccabeans I went through, and then I came to two Maccabeans, chapter 2. And there I found just that what I had lost. I knew about it, but I didn't know where I had read it. There was something special with Jeremiah. And then I found it, and I said, oh, my dear goodness, just what I needed to know. And that is Jeremiah. It's written in here by chapter 2, line number 5. And Jeremiah came tighter. He found a hollow cave where he had laid the tabernacle and the ark and the altar of incense. And he stopped the door. That means there was in the area from the mountain where Moses climbed upon. That means in Mount Zion, there in the neighborhood there was a cave, and he placed all the most important part of the tabernacle and the belongings to that all in there, and it was covered for once and forever. And if Jeremiah did that, he did it on, he was enforced to do so by the word of God, to do it and to take care of it before anything was going wrong with the ark, it would be covered for once and forever. Until the time is so far that it could come back. And that simply means the times in Jeremiah's time as the tribes of Judah in that time were so bad, and we're not much better as in those days. So we are certainly not in the situation that we would be able to see the ark back again, for that will be worthless. So it will take some more time. And that simply means, very simple, that the whole Ron Wyatt story is for once and ever closed. It's nonsense, except that there is a copy, a kind of copy, who is standing there under the mountain in Israel, in Jerusalem, because I never could believe that the Ark of Covenant could have been still in Jerusalem in such a dirty town over the years with so many wounded people in there, that Ark could be there. And it's written in Scripture. You can find it. It's not
right
there. It's now in the coverage of the Arabs.
Let me put in a few reservations. I'm very familiar with 2 Maccabees. I've read 2 Maccabees. Probably a few times. I've read the King James Apocrypha version, the Septuagint Greek version. I know, I'm aware of its statements concerning the Ark of the Covenant. However, I don't. What I'm not positive of is the veracity of the account itself, 2 Maccabees. So I'm, because I have a little skepticism over it, I don't usually mention it as scriptural. There is a possibility, it is not. I'm not discluding the book altogether, but I think we have to just hold those reservations. However, the Ron Wyatt story, I believe that Ron Wyatt is his eyes are brown. They must be brown because he's full of it. I'm sorry. If anybody has brown eyes, I'm sorry. That's just an old joke in my family. But, Ron Wyatt is just full of it. And Eli believes him. And let me say to Eli is not the only pastor that not the only good pastor in Christian Identity that believes Ron Wyatt. There are others.
Yeah.
Okay, Robert Palakaias
Robert Palakaias
of Sacred Truth Ministries is fully, and he's an intelligent, well-read man, and he's persuaded by Ron Wyatt. For my part, I'm not.
Sure.
and Matthew knows the prominent one in Holland who's all for Ron Wyatt.
Oh, right. Yeah, sure.
You know, Rhea.
Yeah. When we were talking about that woman, you can try whatever you want. You can't convince her that she's cheated. This is a nonsense story, or at least an acceptable story for somebody who likes to work with a mock-up. But when you're listening and viewing the information that you can find on the internet, you can get it all in, and you can see that there's no one word about the cherubims. And if that ark is there, then the lid has to be on top of it, and it must be closed, and the two cherubims are on it. There's no one word talked about. So I said, well, this is to me nonsense. The lid of the box by itself must be there, otherwise you're cheated. And it was an open box. Yeah, I can put my shoes in it.
Wyatt wrote about cherubims, and he tends to think that a cherubim is a little, fat little angel baby with wings. That's the Catholic version of the cherubim. A cherub, I'll tell you what a cherub is, and I can prove it. A cherub is a winged sphinx.
Yeah.
A cherub is the same thing that we see, and the Assyrians use the same word, cherub, K-A-T-R-U-B.
Yeah.
A cherub
is
a beast with, it's the original Sphinx. It's originally a beast with the fore part of a lion, the hind part of a bull, the wings of an eagle, and the head of a man. They're the four symbols of Israel around the tabernacle.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Yeah,
that's four
acceptable.
Symbols of the craft that Ezekiel saw. That's the four symbols of the throne that John saw in the Revelation.
Yeah.
That's what a cherub is. That's a cherub.
Yeah.
I could show you the same thing in ancient Assyrian inscriptions that date back to 2000 BC. The Assyrians used the same symbol. The Assyrians are also Semites. They're brethren to the Israelites, the original Assyrians. Those people today over there, don't mistake them for Assyrians. They're not. They're Arabs. The cherub, it's well known what it is in history. The Catholic version of the cherub was developed at a time when there was no, they didn't have the science of archaeology and the ability to make the discoveries that we have today. The Catholic version of the cherub is just it's a medieval fantasy. The cherub is a winged sphinx, but a full, with all the sphinx in Egypt, it is a watered down version. You know what I mean? It has just the body of a lion. From what we could tell, it has the body of a lion and the head of a man. But the winged sphinx, the winged cherub of the Assyrians and the so-called Phoenicians were really Israelites. I have a few of these pictures on my website, and it's a winged sphinx. That's a cherub.
Yeah, that's correct. Now, I remember the books, the Assyrians, and then you can see them. They were huge. Well, they're mounted on a place in the entrance, like in Egypt. That's the same thing. That's correct. And then you can see them. I'll see on your. What kind of coverage is that on your website?
Oh, I'm following. I'm trying to Skype into here, and it just don't work. It just don't work. It's there's a lot of feedback.
Oh, I'm on. I think I'm on VoIP.
Yeah, you're on the VoIP, and I'm being honest with you. It's absolutely terrible. I tried it the other night. I can't try to get it to go.
I'm just talking into my laptop, the tiny front speaker.
Let me see who's there.
You sound like a bad cross between, I'm getting lost.
Sound like Doctor Who.
Oh, come on.
He's singing around in his microphone.
What do I do? How do I come out?
It doesn't work.
Yeah, that I tried to. I keep trying to get into my open Monday forum call with the voice, and when people can't hear me, and when they can hear me, the quality is terrible. The quality is terrible. It just doesn't work. And
somewhere,
Alan Fadler is just going to have to get himself some better a better telephone package or something.
If he's doing by telephone, I don't know whether he's using the screen or the telephone. But it must be possible by telephone. It's a pity. He might retry. Let's hope so, in a positive way. Okay, then we go on with the cherub.
Well, when I encountered the word cherub in my New Testament translation in Hebrews, I translated it Sphinx.
Yeah, that's even better. Yeah, that's correct. It's a good thing to see. Yeah, that's right. But on your website, where can I find it? On which heading?
In my Hebrews translation, where Paul mentions the cherubs, I translated it stinks.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, right. Then I can find it, and I'll check that as well, because I like to check it. Yeah, yeah, I'm referring to the Hebrew. Okay. Yeah, that's written stuff. I have to write with an extended arm. I'm sitting so far away from the computer to keep the best signal. All right.
Now, if you
but
look
that's
at
a good
my,
thing, because on the other hand, now, yeah?
If you look at my under historical essays on identifying the Phoenicians, there's two essays on the Phoenicians, and you get a little links to them when you click on that, and you get a picture of a cherub, and this one was found in Cyprus.
Cyprus,
in Cyprus.
Cyprus,
It was the 4th century, I think. I'm BC, I'm not positive. I'd have to check my records.
Yeah, that is an interesting
now,
thing.
If you bring up my article, Classical and Biblical Records Identifying the Phoenicians, I have a picture of a cherub found in Spain. And it has a Scythian hat on its head. The tall, pointed hats Herodotus described the Scythians as wearing, right? Well, what's that one in Spain? I have a cherub found in Spain. And those two pictures. I have more pictures of cherubs. I only put two of them up so far. But they're both found in archaeology. They're both, from archaeological layers that are way before the time of Christ. One of them has wings and one doesn't, which shows you that they drew it in different ways, you know.
Wow, that's cool.
They're both cherubs. That's what a cherub is.
Yeah, that would be neat to have. What is it in books? Oh, astronomy. Okay, that's good. The Hubble Space Telescope is coming in again. As usual. That's very good. Okay, now I'll see that, because I'd like to have that information here as well. And I can print them also. That's very good. And I have some more books. And this is a typical thing I like to know, because everybody is always mixed up with it. And indeed, the Catholic idea is that, that there are angels with wings and all that sort of things. But it's a misconception, the usual way. And I would like to have the truth. Because I was also informed... that was Mike Hellimore from the Identity Ministry in Arkansas who told me basically I know about it, the books of Bertrand Compre. I have them, so it's no worry, but also his library, and Truth Radio or whatever he's using. And there you can hear the speeches and all the works of Leslie Swift. And I did try it. Well, I know about him. I have been reading books of him. And I had a reservation about his ways of speaking and doing. Because what we need in today's time, certainly, is teachers, not preachers. I'm always very careful with preachers. For they're telling you tremendous amount of beautiful things. But where's the truth? And this is what I can't stand. And I had the first time 4 or 5 years ago when I was reading one of the books of Swift, and then I said, ho, 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 man, what you're saying there, where is my reference? I don't believe what you're saying there without a reference. I'm not accepting that. And so I came across it again because June told me to read the book, having the information of the Ark of the Covenant, and then the story written by Swift, and I read the whole thing, and later on I heard his voice and speech about it, and then I said, no man, that's not my way of thinking. He was just grasping things together where he is giving no reference at all. And then I say, yeah, sorry, but this is not what we want. This is too dangerous. But it is all said in a beautiful way. Yeah, but that is preaching. That's not teaching. And that's what Bertrand Compre and Howard Rind did. And that's what I prefer.
Well, that's
yeah?
exactly
you
right.
You wanted to say something?
And Swift was a great man and a great preacher, and I'm actually putting up a website. All right. I haven't officially announced it yet, but within the next 3 months, there's going to be a swift.christagenia.org, and it's going to it's going to have over 300 Swift recordings and 850 of his articles. But you're entirely right that Wesley Swift never documented anything. He never wrote. He never wrote books. He only gave sermons and speeches. That's it. That's all he did.
Yeah, that's right. And they were brought on paper, and you had the booklets, and that's what you can get. Because Mike Hellymore has a huge amount of all that stuff
in Swift
there.
Booklets
and,
are actually. I knew Lorraine Swift personally. I mean, we wrote for while I was in prison, we wrote for about 5 or 6 years back and forth until she died. And I didn't. I never met her, of course, but I have all her letters here. And she only, you know, she redistributed sermons that other people typed as booklets, and that's what they are. Yeah, you know, they're only sermons. Mm-hmm. But Wesley Swift would have done us a great favor by documenting everything, and a lot of the things that he says are pretty far out there that I wouldn't accept until I saw documentation. And it's, you know, it's guys like Swift that gave me my first impressions in identity, but I knew that I had to research it for myself. I was very skeptical of everything at first, and I knew that I had to research it all for myself, and that's what I did.
Yeah, that's right. That's the best way. Because I stumbled immediately in the first 2 or 3 pages, whatever it was. And then he was saying that at the same time, that's long ago, that Enoch and Job were both contemporaneous in Egypt. I said, where did he get that from? This is new to me. I didn't know that, but I can't believe it. Where is he getting that from? Do you know?
Well, he claimed to be quoting a book called the Zohar quite often. And I don't know if the Zohar in its original form exists. I haven't been able to find one. You know, I think it might be part of the Talmudic literature, but I haven't actually seen a Zohar. And it's on my list of things to investigate.
There you are. See, it was so strange to me that said, it's going too far. I can't believe such. There might be someone who's capable of saying, or that is written so-and-so. And I said, no, I don't believe that. This is a bit too much to me. And where is it? Who is also writing, and it could be that another edition or another copy of the Ark was in Egypt. And that Ark also went over the years, traveling all over the world and whatever. Well, if that is true, I have my doubts about it, but okay, it could be. When we are analyzing an article like that, and then you're reading it carefully, then I say, no, this is all a bit too strange, all that stuff. I don't want such. I want to have facts, reality, and the truth, like I'm used to have from Bertrand and from Howard Rand. Because they were judges. They came from a jurisdictional area, and their way of speaking and thinking and doing is indeed from the jurisdictional way, like Paul did. So those people are a lot better to trust, and there are some more of them. But what is Chris about knowing about this? I'm very interested what he can say about it. Chris, what's
he? I agree with you about the lack of references, and I mentioned that to Monica of Sons of Liberty Books, who stock a lot of things, and she did say that he always had with him when he went around preaching a big reference book with all his references where different things come from, and sometimes people used to ask him, so he had his book there he quoted from. Then one day it got stolen from one of the meetings, so these references were lost. That's what I was told.
The Zohar is part of the Kabbalah.
Yeah. No, he had a book with him with all the, you know, where he got all these various bits of information from old classics and things, and it's a bit like the what Harold Stahl did, you know. He had a box of little clippings of all the references in, and this is what he used to take round with him, and that's what got stolen. And also, I don't know if you've read Ella Mast. She's got some stuff. I'm sort of going to make that up into booklet shortly, but she had access to his library and did a lot of comments on it, you know, and referred to various books in his library. But I don't know what happened to his library.
Well, I have Chris, I don't know if there's any LMS material in the material you gave me.
No, I haven't. I've got a big wadge of it, but I need to sort of format it.
Well, don't do it. I mean, don't. Well, leave it on the bottom of your list, okay?
Right.
Because I have 850 documents compiled by LMS that somebody took over to me.
Right.
They're all in WordPerfect. They're all in WordPerfect.
Okay.
And one of the people that listens, a very excellent woman that listens to all of the programs that Eli and I do, and she helps me moderate my forum, she is going to put them into swift.christagenia.org. I set up a website just to house that stuff.
Okay.
And I have 350 audio tapes and 850 documents that are eventually going to be on that website.
Do you have the place to get it all in? A bus store somewhere?
They're all already on the internet. I just have to get them into the database.
Okay.
I think I sent you about 500 Wesley Swift myself.
Okay, well, I'll compare these to those, and anything that I don't have that's wanting from these 850, will it'll all go together. It'll be on the Einstein site. It'll be on the swift.christagenia.org site. It'll eventually it'll be all over the place. I just can't. I only have two hands. I'm sorry.
I didn't know she was still alive, this Elamast person.
No, she's not. She died.
Oh, she died.
I know a man who knew her and turned over all these documents to me. And he also was with Lorraine Swift in the last year of her life.
Oh, right.
I have a website that I sponsor for him, but I don't really want to give his name out. He's also he's also managing the image library at the Mein Kampf site now.
Oh, right.
And he's been a great help.
So much better.
So was she able to? Were you able to find out what happened to his library?
As far as I know, Wesley Swift's library was handed over to Mike Hallamore. That's what Lorraine Swift told me.
That is correct.
Told me that.
That's correct. I know about it.
And you know, Butler claims to be the claimed to be the heir to the Wesley Swift ministry, and that's not true. Mike Hallamore is.
Yeah, that's
I don't talk to Mike, but I'm gonna say the truth. Mike Hallamore, Kingdom Identity Ministries, he's the official heir of Wesley Swift's ministry and his library.
Right, correct. I know.
Well, Lorraine told me with her own mouth. You know, I mean,
she should
know if anybody knew.
Yeah, that's correct. I know about it. I have been in with Mike years ago. Twice I have been there. And so I know about it, have seen the book works, and that's why I bought an enormous amount of books from him, because I was there, and it's easier to transport them as the aircraft straightforward film holiday, as that you're going to send them over the ocean. That was the better way. But I know it's right. That is correct. Yeah, Wesley Swift's stuff. And also the book of Dillinger and all that sort of materials, I have seen it. So I know about it. That's correct. Yeah. All right. We are still missing Theo Tiffy.
Well,
I'm sure
no sign of Betty online.
And Betty's also wrong. They are all missing. We have to push them. Or they are on holiday. Who knows? Because I also have someone. Yeah?
I was just saying, I sent a, you know, circular email to everybody reminding them that it was 5, you know, today, and it was 5, you know, 5 o'clock our time and 6 o'clock European time.
Correct.
But perhaps I haven't looked at their emails yet.
Yeah, that could be. That could be. I did send it all forward to someone's here in Germany. And, well, whether they're going to react or listen, I don't know. But wait and see. It could be. That's also possible.
Arnie spoke, yeah, never mind. Spoke to Tiffy yesterday, and she said, oh, we'll be, speak to you tomorrow on talk show. But,
oh.
Well, I hope she didn't forget that I changed the time, because...
Oh, yeah, she knew that, because we reminded her.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, we'll get back to the regular time the next time I do the program. Unless you people feel that this time is more convenient. Yeah, you know, if you people feel that this time is more convenient, then that's fine, you know?
But it doesn't matter to me.
No. Well, I hope she didn't forget that I changed time, because we have two number ones, but I'm getting a lot of feedback.
June's usually number one, isn't it? We're usually number one.
Actually, I have got connection by telephone, but...
It is Betty?
Yes.
You must be the other number one.
Oh,
dear,
oh dear.
Lovely to hear you, Betty.
Oh, dear.
Betty, please mute your speaker. Please mute your computer speaker.
How do I do that?
Wow. I don't know what your screen looks like. I can't tell you how to mute your speaker. I'm sorry.
I'll close
down. No, don't hang up. Don't hang up. Just turn it down or... I didn't want her to hang up.
No.
I think she said she was on the telephone line.
I feel terrible now. Betty, please call back, but don't hang up.
I mean, if she was on the computer, all she needed to do is just turn the computer off.
Oh, but she did say she was on the telephone.
Yeah, but not on. But the computer goes on the different line.
Oh, yes.
Right, and all I could hear was her computer. All I can hear
right.
is her computer. I feel terrible now, but I can't. I can't hear anything else.
It was
an
echo effect.
I hope she comes back. She's
she
a wonderful woman.
We expect her. Like you did. They will come back. I hope so. Oh, she's retrying anyway.
We have to get a way to work out the problems with Skype, with VoIP, with TalkShoe. It's terrible.
It seems.
And also, it probably varies, because we're all on different operating systems and got different computers, and probably each one has a different problem, you know.
Well, I've tried the VoIP with TalkShoe with two operating systems on two different computers, and it does not work. With Linux and with Windows XP. And it's terrible with both of them.
So.
I'm going to keep trying.
And I'm just working with Windows 2000. No more.
So that's probably the one to use.
The ham radios. Well, I'm a ham. Delta Junior is Alpha Bravo Golf. That's what I am. But even with radio hams, it's not so easy to have a connection like this. It's almost impossible. Well, we use it extensively over the years. And my transceiver is still standing in the corner, but I don't have a power supply. That was an accumulator that went into the car. So now it's out.
Well,
okay. But I wanted to have another. I still have. Yeah.
Chris, I only suggest that you put that Wesley Swift material on the back burner until you see what I get up, and that way we don't duplicate any efforts, right?
Right.
That just might be better.
That's good.
There's some I've already done, which I haven't sent down to you, and those were the Wednesday night Bible studies. Don't know if you've got those, have you?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I have all the Wednesday night Bible studies. All in WordPerfect, all set up, and they're going to go right into a Drupal database online. And that's actually a pretty smooth transition. It's just a matter of cutting and pasting. I set up an online editor on a text database on the internet, and you just paste right into it. It usually goes pretty good. I just redid Eli's site too. Me and another gentleman. He's known here as Boxar. Eli's new site is online this morning. I put it online at 3 a.m. this morning before I went to bed.
Yeah, that's early in the morning. Yeah, I know that from Herald of... Yeah? Oh, I don't seem to be able to ring in, but I will keep trying. Dorcas, yeah.
He's trying to get Dorcas.
He's just trying it, but it can't come in. Okay, now we'll see it later on. That will be possible.
Hope she gets in. You see, when you call, I don't know, when you call from the States, when I call into TalkShoe, it automatically cuts off the audio.
Yes, well, mine does, yeah.
Yeah, you know, because it recognizes me as a caller. Yeah, I use that PIN number that they give us, and it recognizes
me,
and it automatically cuts my audio off. It's real good.
Curious.
So I don't have to.
Well, I think the problem was Betty came in on the telephone as a guest, so they probably think it was another caller, although it should have recognized her telephone number and muted it. Whether that was something to do with it.
Who knows?
Well, she probably doesn't have it attached to her PIN number.
Because I was going to tell her that the mute, usually on Windows, she looks down the very bottom right-hand corner next to the time.
Well,
it's like a speaker, and if you click on that, you get a column come up and click on it again, and it mutes it.
Right. I have mine on. Mine doesn't show up unless I want it to, so I'm not used to it.
Yours isn't on the bottom line.
I have it shut off from there. I don't want all that clutter down there.
That could be. See, what this saying here in the right-hand corner, you are connected. And in red is disconnected, and on the right side is my microphone mute. And that is open. She might have been disturbed by that. It could be. That's easy possible. That's a pity, yeah.
No sign of Tia Tappy yet.
She should be in now. Yeah. Because I have something else interesting, at least what I mean interesting, where I came across. And I have been, and that's why it is so interesting to have TATV on the line. When you are reading, there are two books, at least I found two books about TATV and her story, partially this story which came from the Bard, I've been writing it, and the other was straight ahead from somewhere else. And there the interesting thing is that the ship, by means of which Jeremiah and his own fellows in Teotihuacan came to Ireland, it wrecked at the coastline of Ireland. And you never hear in any kind of the books and the stories that there was anything learned about or taught about of the Ark of the Covenant. So it was pretty sure that Jeremiah didn't take that one to Ireland. And additional to that, we know that the Stone of Destiny, the Alan Fodla, was on board and was carried into Ireland. And some more, and the half of David, which was used by TV, was there. So if that ship did red shipwreck there, and the Ark would have been in, this was never possible. The Ark to be shipwrecked on a coast somewhere else, that the most holy object, I would say, from the Lord on earth, that should be shipwrecked. This is impossible. That could never have been. So that was another reason why I said no, that Ark never came in Ireland at that time, maybe a dummy or whatsoever, later on another time. And also, Swift is writing in his book then that at the funeral, or days after or around that time, of Tiatifi in their mound there, that spaceships, he's saying spaceships, came down there with whatever kind of person, people, whatever it was, and they took up and took away the Ark of the Covenant there. And I said, now, well, then, this is the greatest nonsense I have ever heard. And I don't like when they are talking about spaceships, because the Lord has by no means any use of a spaceship. What for? There's no need for. We can read, that the apostles on the mount saw that Christ was taken up. He was going up. Where was the spaceship? There was none. The most important person from earth going up in heaven without a spaceship. So there is no need for spaceships. And Moses and Elijah were standing there in the sky, in the clouds or whatsoever, and there was no spaceship. So it's so unlikely that these nonsense things are spaceships. We need spaceships.
Let me just
not
say
our
this.
Lord. He doesn't need...
The book of Job says that he hides his throne in a cloud. I could pull out that reference if you want. And our Father is asking where the Ark of the Covenant is. And all I'm going to say is this. We don't know where the Ark of the Covenant is, but the book of Revelation says that it's in the temple of Yahweh in heaven. And that's Revelation 11:19. And that's the only indication of the location of the Ark. Right? The Ark of his covenant.
Okay. And that he has taken it away from the Mount Zion area.
The only thing I had to point with that I could know is scriptural is Revelation 11:19. That's the only thing I could point to. About the stories about Jeremiah bringing it to Ireland. I know about the stories about somebody bringing it to America and bringing it to Arkansas. I think a lot of that stuff is fantastic, and I would I don't like repeating it without a strong caveat that it's a story. It's a tale.
Exactly. It's so easy telling, but when you're going to look and think about it carefully, you must say, what a nonsense. This can't be scriptural. Or if somebody is really finding the truth, okay, I don't believe it. It's too simple. But there are so many of these things where you can just a kind of philosophy and sitting and thinking about it. Just normal, straightforward thinking about logical things. Then you're excluding so many of these stories. And the danger of all these stories is too many people are believing what they are told them. And they get a crooked information, which I don't like at all. It's a pity, because we need to have the truth. That means by teaching, not by storytelling.
Well, we have a lot
I can tell a lot of stories, but I don't like them.
Well, we have a lot in common. It must be a German thing.
Who knows?
Because I want to see the documentation, too.
Yeah. It's so easy, because it's a typical thing like... Paul or Howard Rindt or Bertrand Comfort would say, come on, give me the original documents, the truth, where is it written? Come on with that, and if you can't, I learned that in the archives in downtown Amsterdam, for we also had IDs about our family research, and then the chief there said, where is that written? Where did you get that information from? And she said, we have. Oh, okay, man, you don't have it on paper. that you're lying. It's nonsense what you're saying. I said, okay, that is correct, but we have to go from a point of view and start in a direction to find the truth. We have to go from somewhere. I said, yeah, okay, that is right, but you have to have the facts on paper. I said, this is correct. I agree with that. So I learned my lessons, and it's about 25 years ago. But it is so. It really works. When you're going to find the details, you will find them all. But it takes a lot of time. Never mind. It's one of the best ways you do. But that's why I like it, to have these discussion opportunities. Yeah,
in that
Chris?
Old book, Alan's been researching, and also to some extent myself, it mentions there, this is the ancient history of the Caledonians, talks about the Stone of Destiny and the marble chair having come out prior to the Exodus via Scandinavia, and it seems likely that Jeremiah didn't actually bring it with him, but collected it from either Scandinavia or Scotland to bring it to Ireland when he came over.
Well, it could have come out prior to the Exodus.
Pardon?
How could it come out prior to the Exodus?
Well, a lot of them, you know, like Sarah Judah, come out before the Exodus.
Right, but I just imagine the children of Israel having that stone in the desert. That's all.
Well, according
I might be wrong.
But, according to these records,
and I imagine,
it came out with, I think it was Scota.
There are many citations in the Bible in the kingdom period about the pillar of witness.
Yeah,
you know,
that's correct.
And that would tell me that that stone would be, I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't know if there's more than one pillar of witness.
Because I think actually there were, because I think somebody mentioned that there was one stone set up, and then there was also the actual pillar, you know, what he lay on it himself. I think in someone did point it out to me, I can't remember now, where it does mention about there being two in the Bible.
There are many references to the pillar of witness in the books of Kings.
Sure. And that is why it's pretty likely that that one, the real one, came to Ireland by means of Jeremiah. He took it with him. So far as the book of Teotifi, which I read, it was given it. Maybe, okay, there's another edition.
Decided over the, you know, the marriage, he brought it with him, but it was already, you know, he collected it from probably Scotland.
Oh, okay. that could be. Yeah, that could be. That is correct, yeah.
So it was already safely in, you know, in either in Scandinavia or in Scotland, long before Teotihi came to Ireland.
Yeah, because it's pretty likely that Jeremiah didn't go in a few weeks from Palestine via Egypt and then up via Spain and then to England. I think it took a few years. First of all, going to the times of Egypt, and he has been staying there for a rather longer time, and then go over. It might be even 5 years or 8 or 7 years, probably. Anyway, a longer time, and then the stone by itself might have taken another routing. Yeah, could be, but who could have transported
that
thing? I don't know. There must have been some good ones.
Somebody mentioned, I forget who it was now, there's quite a good article on the stone, and saying that at the time of prior to the Exodus, when it came out, it didn't go round through, up through the Atlantic. It went down through the Black Sea, and in that time, it was all mostly underwater, all that part, and they could sail up from the Black Sea to the White Sea and then on to Scandinavia and Scotland. And it's only in latter years that the sort of swamplands sort of dried up, and that's one of the reasons given by Europe sort of remained a wilderness, and, you know, it didn't get overrun by the Huns from the east because there was these vast swamplands.
Alan's saying, you know, Alan Butler is saying that the Caledonia book does not mention the Ark. It only mentions the marble chair and
Jerusalem. Oh, yes, that's what I'm talking about, the Ark and the marble chair, and the stone and the marble chair.
Okay.
And also, that's another thing they don't mention in BI literature is the marble chair.
Yeah.
It's been forgotten.
Correct. Where is he?
And we think we traced it to Canterbury Cathedral because, unfortunately, I couldn't find it again, but I was searching on the internet and there was a reference in the old cutting of the, I think it was the Morning Post or something like that, about when King Edward didn't like sitting on a sort of stone chair, so he gave it to the Archbishop of Canterbury and had a new one made, which is the current one, which is in Westminster Abbey. And the other one made its way to Canterbury, and I did do some research on it, and interestingly, it was about the same period, although they deny it's anything to do with that. But it was the same period, and although they call it St. Augustine's chair, they admit he never sat in it, you know. And there are references in some of the old histories about the Saxon kings being crowned on the marble chair.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. I'm going to search.
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember if Sharon Turner mentioned anything like that.
I've got some of the, I have to look, if I can find it, on the many files I got somewhere on my computer. You've probably got them down your end.
Oh, they're all on my computer, right. They're all on, you know, everything that you sent me.
Yeah, it's just a question of doing a word search, you know.
Well, I'm going to right now. I have to. I got to go down about six directories just to get to the where my websites are on my local copy. It's complicated.
Yeah.
We've just got a couple of minutes on this hour.
Right. You would say nothing.
Yeah.
We're just going to hang up and ring in again because our hour's up.
Okay.
Ah, yeah, that's right. Oh, see you later.
Dorcas is here, okay.
Yeah, that can happen. Yeah.
Dorcas!
That's an hour.
Hold on, Matthew, hold on. Dorcas.
Yeah. Dorcas, is he there?
I am, yes, Matthew.
How you doing? That's a lot better.
Yes.
I'm sorry. It was just I could only hear your feedback. You know, from your computer speaker. I'm sorry.
I'm terrible novice, I'm afraid.
No, that's okay. That's okay. If you want, one
there.
Day I'll. Well, when I get back from Virginia, I'll call you and walk you through it.
Yeah.
I noticed the mute, and I've put that on now. It's just I'm all right once I know what to do.
Well, I'm really happy that you made it. How you doing?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm fine, thank you. Yes.
Great.
I'm so thrilled that I've actually got through.
Yeah, that's right. I had the same problem in the beginning with the peculiar mute thing in the right corner.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
That, you know, the farther along we are, the harder it is to catch up with all this new stuff. I got the same problem myself.
Yes.
Yeah.
It doesn't come easy to me somehow.
It's not you. When you're young, these kids pick this stuff up and they run with it, right?
I know.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah, sure. They are fiddling to the machines.
Yes,
I'm also
you're frightened to push the wrong button. I think that's what it is, you know.
Yeah.
Got to get a bit braver.
The next time you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Story of my life.
You have
pushing the wrong button.
Sorry.
That's the story of my life, pushing the wrong button.
Oh, no, I'm sure. Yeah.
But it happens more often. We all have to go through these problems.
Yeah, well, I feel I've overcome a hurdle today.
Yeah. Oh, never mind. We all have to go through.
Won't be able to think of a thing to say now. I'm on.
We'll try to get it out of you.
Yeah.
But what is your experience with the Ark of Noah, the Ark of the Covenant? What have you been reading, for instance, was the stories told by Wesley Sweet?
Yes,
Ron Wyatt.
Yes, I read Ron Wyatt about 10 or 12 years ago.
See, there you are.
And I saw the obelisks on each side where the children of Israel crossed into Arabia.
Yeah.
And I also went down the wadi where they crossed the river.
Yeah.
There's a platform there that is raised up. So it's not like going into deep water. There is a mud platform. And it all comes to life somehow. And how they would have been cut off because it was between two big cliffs. And that was quite an experience. So I sort of followed Ron Wyatt, you know. And he made a point. And also they discovered the wheels of the chariots of that particular...
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
They told you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all shown. That's right. Because I heard from other ones in the Netherlands who have been studying the whole subject also some 12 years or longer ago, that she simply said from the Netherlands, the man did find so many things that it was so unlikely for us to believe it. I said, because the whole story...
Yes, that's true. That
too much.
True. Yes. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a pity, but it is so, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, there I have something on the screen here which we have to tell, and that's, can we get Rhea Splinter online? Yeah, she was browbeaten out of the 25L by an old BI. Oh, she was browbeaten out of the... I get something more about it. But it's on a follow. Maybe he's capable of telling us exactly the details we don't know about it. Rhea Splinter, she's living in Apeldoorn in the east of the Netherlands. She doesn't have any computer or stuff like that, not at all. Only her girlfriend, Anneke de Lange, she's having equipment. But Chris and I have been trying a few times to get Anna on this talk show. So far, no success.
No.
That's all. But Rhea Splinter is not on the line.
No, but Rhea.
Well, she won't come
on. Betty, you go.
She refuses to come on?
She's a very interesting lady. We have our differences. You know, she didn't accept the true name.
Right.
We're all learning, and very interesting lady.
Yeah.
Yes. Great.
Bring her on. January or March. What's our next date? The first Thursday in March.
But then she has to be yet Anneke de Lange in the Netherlands, because she doesn't have equipment at all. She doesn't want to even a computer whatsoever.
She has a phone.
All you need is a telephone to get here.
That's another possibility. That's something I haven't thought about, because I only have 4 months of the telephone. So I can't tell it to anybody. But in the Netherlands, it might be possible, although I doubt about that pound sign in the Netherlands either. I don't believe that it works there.
Our next date would be March 4th.
If you believe that Ron Wright has... March 4th. Okay, I'll write it down here. March 4th. And then what time, this time, or later?
Is this time better? Is this time better for you? We'll do it at this time. If it's better for, you know, if we could reach a consensus. I don't know about Judith yet, you know, about Tika Tepe. It's obviously not better for her because she's not here yet.
Unfortunately.
No, she did say she'd be on tonight, so she's obviously having trouble getting in. It was very slow at first to get in to talk to you.
Don't we have her if we have her telephone number, we can call her.
I've got her number, but you can't.
Well, their phones are tied up being here.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
And it should be okay.
Yeah. And I don't have the telephone here, otherwise I could call her here straight from here, but it's now downstairs, the telephone. Yeah, and it's a pity, But anyway, I don't mind whether it's 6 o'clock like on Sunday, then also 6 o'clock for, come on, in Chicago, for Eli. So I don't mind if somebody is saying it is dependent, because for us it's just dinner time, or we just had our dinner, so it's evening and I'm free in the evening to do what I want. But it's for 6 hours time difference. It's 12 o'clock or 11 o'clock in the States. So the problem is more on your side as our side. So what shall we do?
Well, I don't mind 5 o'clock. I mean,
okay.
What suits Bill?
I don't know about Olin Fowler, because he's probably out working. It's probably better for him to be on
later. Yeah.
But there again...
7 o'clock.
When you're on the continent, you go to bed early, so it's probably better to have it earlier. I don't know.
The youngest up and the
Well, we can do it at noon. If you want to do it at noon, I'll plan March 4th for 12 noon.
Yes, week.
Yeah, okay, 12 hours, 12 noon. That means 6 hours time difference. That is 6 o'clock in my evening. It's like today.
Today,
yes.
Alan Fadler says his work is sporadic. If he can make it, he can make it. And Tia Tepe, I'd love to see her here. I hate to see her miss this.
Right,
Okay, you know, what can I do?
Yeah.
Well, I think Tia Tepe had difficulty getting in last time. She might be experiencing the same difficulties today.
Yeah.
Of course, she did say she had to take her dog to the vet. She had to be a dog.
Sasha sick again?
Yeah, I think so, yes. Or he's being spayed or something.
Oh, why would she do that to that poor dog?
She didn't want any youngest Sashas coming along.
She didn't want to be aggravated by the courtships at the outside of the house.
When I was a kid, I had a dog that had 3 litters in 1 year, and my father took it for a ride. I never saw that dog again. I don't. 20 puppies in a year.
Yeah. See, but now I see something which I don't understand completely, and that is youngest is up. Hold it. Where is it? Youngest is up and awake, and he is a pistol. That means a chap must be a pistol. I don't know what that means.
Sorry?
Chris, can I see it on the image on the screen?
No, I can't.
That the South Bend is saying. South Bend is saying, giving a note, and he is saying, youngest is up and awake, and he is a pistol. Yeah. What kind of chap is that? Is that a pistol? What's a pistol meaning in that way?
Yes, it must be an American.
I can always check in and out of the archives. Yeah, the only time that works for our European kinsmen, yeah. I can always check. Okay, now, all right. Okay. Well, we don't mind. what did he say? Oh, that was the wrong way. Yeah, I'll go with that. That's okay. Yeah?
Back to the wrong wife. You know, there's a comment that if he found the Exodus crossing site, why can't we believe he also found the ark in the cave under Golgotha? Well, I think that is quite a possibility, because if you go there, the burial site is right under Golgotha. It's incredible. So nothing is impossible. And
well, I've been very skeptical of that story since I heard it.
Yeah.
And in the Old Testament, on the Day of Atonement, you know, only the high priest could go in once a year.
Yeah.
And I think it's all very significant that blood had to cover the mercy seat. So, you know, nothing is impossible. And how it was all hushed up by the Israelis. They didn't want it published. And I did think at the time that they're possibly saving all that for when they want to reveal it, when they have their false Messiah in place. That was my thoughts about it.
Well, they're their own Messiah, basically. And I think they would, I mean, it's my opinion, but I think they would want to trumpet that to prove that they have a right to that land. You know what I mean?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
I understand that, yeah.
And they claim that identity, and that would, yeah, you know, that would enforce their claim and enforce their claim to the land. That's my opinion.
Yes. I understand that.
Yeah.
Well, time will tell, won't it?
That's sure. That's for sure. Yeah, that's right.
Ron Wyatt, I'm very skeptical of Ron Wyatt because he said a few things that, like the description of the cherub. The description of the cherub. And he said a few things that I know from my own, and I studied archaeology, you know, books on archaeology and Mideastern archaeology at great length. And I know from my own studies that he is describing church things that aren't found in archaeology. You know what I mean? That no archaeologist would say some of the things that he says.
No.
Yeah.
And for that reason, I'm just skeptical. And I'm going to remain skeptical. I'm not from Missouri, but you got to show me. I want to see some documentation before I believe anything.
That's the best.
Because there is also written that even the very elect ones are to be tried to be deceived. So this is such a typical case where you can easily be deceived. Why should you? There's no reason. There's no question to do such. We are not asked to be deceived. We have to take care and look and carefully. And that's why I'm saying, keep the hands off. I don't trust it. And if there is some certain box under there, in the place where the cross was, I'll believe it. But then it is just a mock-up or a model, if it's not the original one. That is easier to see. What is that? And the most trouble. Some thing is, I asked my nephew even, and he couldn't give an answer for it, but it's not directly in his line of job, but he comes from the medical side. Is it by all means possible that blood, stains of blood, are 2,000 years in the open, in the air, etc., whether through a cleft into the cave, etc.? To best knowledge, it's impossible that it's going to be that old. Normally spoken, if blood, stained blood on clothing and dressing, etc., it's only a few hundred years and then it's gone and you can't use it. You can't reuse it for whatever purpose.
No.
Then they might say, no, because this is the blood of Christ and this is special and here this is possible. This is all animation. Nah. That's too tricky. That is what we call it. A fine name for it. Won't it? That's what you won't believe it. It must be reality. From a scientific point of view, we know that such old blood is not possible. Have you ever seen anywhere some blood from the Egyptians from the mummification? I know these people were placed in a bath for 70 days or so, in a salt bath. And then you can be sure that no drips or blood is left over. And the urns, the tops in which the contents of the inside of the body was placed in, Whether they put that installed is not known to me. So whether they did any kind of preparation about the inner parts of the body, that was placed in a top and a lid on, and was even sealed with stuff. But I don't think that there was any blood. And if they want to make a DNA test, that's possible from the bones, but not from the blood. They don't have it. Besides of that, which is very interesting to mind, and most people better know about it, I lately had some 2 months ago an additional film from the man in ICE, which was here, it's a few hours car drive, where that man of 5,000 years old was found, and over the last 15 years they have been able to get any imaginable or unimaginable medical device, newer, a bit older, they have been testing all. And the only thing they could not find, that they told, was any kind of sip drip of blood. There was nothing to be found on the man. And his blood was just there, 5,000 years, but there was nothing left over. And now with the latest, most sophisticated super device, they were capable, unbelievable, but they found one blood cell, one blood particle, a red one. And they said, well, if that is possible, we can find one. We will continue the search. Maybe we can find more, but it is too less to create any kind of analysis of it. That was impossible. He said, it's a pity, otherwise we would have known for the last hours of the man he has been eating, etc. Yeah, okay. But that's 5,000 years, and the man, there was nothing to be found. So it's unlikely for 2,000 years even. So science is showing up. That's what it is.
And you said somebody made the Illuminati sign on at the beginning of the film.
You're correct. Yeah, that's correct. And that is the film. Yeah, maybe there are more films. I don't know. But the one I saw. What was that? Oh, hey, that's a mail from Wolfgang. He's coming in with a message. Yeah. Okay, that's for later on. Tomorrow, when I have time. What was it? Oh, yeah. And that is a film which starts, and what was he saying? Weird Things, GC was the Zeus Messiah. Okay, could be, yeah. That's right. That is the film. It starts that film, and on the internet, I think it was the most basic film about it. And there it starts with a woman who has held a microphone in front of her, and she is asking a question. And the man in the middle man with the microphone, is, and after the question was made by the woman, turning the microphone to Ron Wyatt, who steps forward, and he is starting to tell his story. And then it may be 10 to 15 seconds after the start that you can see Ron Wyatt. He is coming up with his two fingers, like the Illuminati signal. That means the indicating finger and the little finger, putting forwards, and the rest is backwards. So you have the horns of the bullhorn. He's doing that Illuminati signal. From that moment on, I said, this film is interestable. But nobody, normal Christian people, whatever, are never making that signal. And for anyone of the Illuminati informed of them, knows about it, that such things, if they give such a sign, it has a meaning. And to best knowledge, it has the meaning that you better don't trust the film.
Yeah.
So that's what I could say. And that's why I was so extremely amazed. Yeah, you better see it when you can. And you will see the starting up, and then you check it. It's only a few seconds, a second or so, that you can see it. And I said, hold it, what's the man doing? Like the same thing we had in the Black Forest. There, British didn't see it because you were in the next room. But we saw it, that our speaker, he was coming up all of a sudden and made the same signal. And Jetta and I, we were sitting behind each other, and she said, what is he doing now? What is that for? That's an Illuminati symbol. That's not belonging to us. What does it mean? Was this an untrustable thing? And yeah, well, a few weeks, two months later, he passed away, so we couldn't ask anymore. That's it's pity. But And in today's times, we're pretty keen on it that when we see the signal, which we formerly never knew, but you can see the photographs where you can see, horribly enough,
well, I've seen George
Bush, Queen
Elizabeth
doing it. He's doing the same signal. Yes, exactly. And I said, what a shocking photograph that is to be shown in the world. But that is happening. Are we in the end times? The last time. And how long this last time is going to continue? Well, they may say so. I don't know, but it can't be that long. It's unfortunately that it is so. But what would we do? But you have to know these signals. And the one who is describing that carefully and extendedly, that it's Tex Marsh. He has the book. He has the book about it. Tex Marsh is pretty informed about these peculiar types of signals. And one of these signals is this one.
Informed
a bit about it. Tex Marsh, yeah, that's it. Right, that's it, yeah. Yeah, that is of him. I didn't order the book, but I know Chris has it. Well, I can't have all the books. I'm satisfied with what I have. My library is pretty filled up.
So,
but there are still some
second,
good
Matthew?
Books which I should like to buy. But... Yeah?
Matthew.
Yeah?
Alan Fadla, he wants to know. You know, I don't believe in church buildings myself, but Alan Fadla wants to know if there are any identity churches in Germany.
No. So far as I don't know. And there is still an interesting group in Germany, we found, whom we know about, and they are doing their best in any Christian way, either identify or not. And that's the group which we are meeting, and that can vary from 50 to 150 people we've found in the Black Forest. And that's where we have been over the last 3 years. And Betty knows about it, she was there as well. This is very interesting. That there are some, but they should be capable
Christian
of speaking English. It would be easier.
You've got the Christian assemblies in Germany, and they believe in the identity message.
Okay.
So they've got some, you know, funny ideas.
They have.
Can you compare them to any of, you know, like Herbert Armstrong or any of those people?
I think they're a bit in the Adventist mode. You know, they're very keen on the scriptures, and they like, you know, heavily pastor you, you know, make sure you...
Shepherding,
you know, make sure you don't go anywhere, you know, you shouldn't go or have any communication with somebody you shouldn't do, that sort of thing.
And when they're preparing a tea, the ladies are told by the pastor, I want you to bring a cake that can be divided into 12, and the next one has to bring sandwiches for 14, and it's all very regimented. That's the experience we've had, meeting with some of them on occasions.
That sounds like a very strict, you know, like the card clubs the women used to have.
Very strict. Lovely people.
Yeah.
we've had fellowship with some of them.
And some of them were, in fact, Germans that came from this country.
Yes.
Well, I've noticed that about Germans, and I'm like that in a lot of ways myself. We're not happy unless everything's planned to a T.
Well, that's what it seems to be.
Yeah, it has to be spontaneous. Spontaneously. That's always the best.
Ah, but the tea parties were never short of food. There was always enough and to spare. Which is better for the ladies, is if there were a shortage and then they're wondering how to spread it out better.
That's right, yeah. But the Black Forest. June should get one as well. Did you get today the letter from Haus Sonnenblick here in Black Forest?
Not
it sent
yet.
I haven't
got mine today.
Not yet, huh?
Possibly
okay, then
tomorrow.
It will come tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow by post. Now I got the new one in, and that's the whole list for all the year, the round about the clock in this coming year. And there is a lot of open space in September, October, November. because we're not coming, at least, for Nome. Well, and that might be added afterwards, but so far...
We're hoping there'll be some bookings in October.
So you're going to organise something, Matthew?
I found Pastor Alan Campbell's website last week, and I was pretty disappointed to see he wanted $1.50 for an audio download a 45-minute MP3. I was pretty disappointed that he was charging money for that.
He is trying to raise money to buy a building.
Oh.
Well, I'd like to raise money to do a lot of things, but I'm not going to charge for my audios.
No way.
But
as I say, I'm not very happy about the idea of getting a great big building when the Lord says you come for a little crowd.
Well, we are the building. We don't need
we're
a building.
Yeah, we
I understand that, but I mean,
that is correct.
The idea of raising the money to buy the building initially, but that isn't the final, that's not the end of the money, because a building's greedy. They want rates and heating and water and, the building will never end.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as you build a building, you're going to have Jews in the back door. There's no doubt.
Always. Correct. Yep. Yep. That's what I always say in the same sort of way. That's right. Wherever there's money, Jews are.
Exactly. And he could keep his building.
Money stinks.
I'll meet in the park.
It doesn't work.
On the internet.
It's better.
In a park, in a parking lot.
Yep. Yep.
Rent the hall. You know, rent the hall.
You can do all these kind of things. It's
once,
a tremendous
once you get a building
possibility.
And try to make an organization, all you have is rivalry, a fight for the top, and the Jews sneak in the back door, and the next thing you know, you got Judas as your accountant.
Every
time.
Correct. Yeah, they like to destroy that all. And even here.
Price
for even here on the net.
Christ brought the disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, right?
Right, he did. Yeah.
And that's
so,
where they met, and that's where they prayed. And when he needed a place to eat, he got somebody and rented a hall. I mean, the equivalent, anyway.
Have you heard any more about the death of Heinz Moorlach, the leader of the German group?
I didn't hear anything anymore. If you know, and I know, but we might ask Wolfgang whether he might be further informed. I don't know, but it's momentarily pretty scarce, the information. Yeah. It's closed for whatever reason.
Might have heard from Jetta, who was friendly with that Frisian woman who went to be with the family.
Yeah, that's correct. That is, there's also Judith. Chita would go there. She was going on a telephone call with her, but so far, that didn't work. and Judith de Vries, she's called. That woman, she was very informed about it, but I don't have the telephone number of her, otherwise I would call her in. Maybe she knows a bit more. And I have to trace that, in actual fact. And then I first have to ask Chetta in the Netherlands how far she is with the telephone call with her to not crisscross them. Chetta has had an eye operation right now, and the other week, and that was successful after all. And next month or 2 months later, she has to have an operation on the other eye. But okay. So they're all busy with something in in illnesses and hospitalities, etc. takes a bit more problems. But I get my information from Chetta directly from the from the screen. And so far, she wasn't able to come onto the net. Yeah, that's what it is. A pity. Yeah, okay. Huh? Musing important to Pentecostals. Oh, yeah. That's my care musing. Okay. Yeah, so it is, fellows. Just going on. But anyway, we have to go on. And we are glad that we have Betty on the show. And it's indeed a pity that we don't have Judith on. Well, we might ask. Maybe she is indeed also in problems with the mute. Who knows? It's slowly getting time, and I have to get a telephone up here, and I could call her straightforward. There's so much to be done, and I'm so glad that I have been finishing the oscilloscope problems, etc., etc.
I thought that we lost Dorcas.
We still have
again.
An hour. Because... Is it?
We lost Dorcas again. I don't know where she went. I don't remember saying she was leaving.
Perhaps her hour was up. She's probably redialing in.
Okay.
Because she's on the same system. We get an hour free, but if you go over the hour, you have to pay.
Oh, so
she may be, you know, decided her hour's up and is redialing in.
I wish I had a telephone system like that.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have anything like that in the USA, then?
I've never seen anything like that, no. But, I mean, I have unlimited calling on cable, but for my other telephone.
Yeah.
If I use the other phone and call long distance, I called Britain once. I called Alan Fogel once, and it cost $1.05 a minute. It was crazy.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's expensive.
They get you when you don't have a plan, you know?
Yes.
So you pay every month, or you just pay real big once in a while?
Well, I pay on a monthly affair, but I can call in the country, you know, locally. I can call anywhere internationally, free of charge. But if I go over an hour, before the hour's up, put your telephone down, and then pick it up and redial, and you can have the second hour for no charge. And I've had my recent bill in, and the only time I had 2 minutes over the hour when I was talking, my fault, I had to pay an extra 4 pence.
Okay.
So tuppence an hour, tuppence a minute if you're over the time. But I mean, to me, that's excellent. And of course, because it's international, we can call any time, day or night. So long as we can know if the person we're dialing will be out of bed, we can ring them. We have a friend in New Zealand we sometimes contact, but there's a little bit mathematics. If we are up, will they be up? No.
Yeah.
However,
right.
But it's an excellent system financially. You know, you get.
Well, it's cheaper to phone the continent during the day than your next door neighbour.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I'm glad it was only €8 a month extra added to the cost of the internet. And then I can call free at any time, at any hour, and as long as I want. In Europe, the United States, etc. That's perfect. Even Spain, and just there, well, I have to have my friends and acquaintances. So what can I have better? It's a blessing, a real blessing for today's times. Yeah, some 20 years ago, you couldn't even think about it. Oh, we're still dependent on the radio ham system. Yeah, it's normal. Well, yeah, so what? It's the lucky thing for all of us. And I prefer this because then we have a quick contact about subjects which are very important, and there's no better way of doing it in this way. So I see it is super. And a lot more people should have to do it, like Annika. Well, she's not coming in for whatever reason, and she has the equipment. And English is no problem for her because she came from South Africa. So we don't understand why that is. Maybe we can boost her up.
Well, I hate to cut you people short, but I have a long drive in front of me.
Right.
And you just don't have to leave. Yeah, you know, you could stay and talk, and what I'll do is I'll hook it up so that if anybody calls in, they could talk too. And I'll hang up and the recording. And I promise that on March 4th, I'll give you all the time. You know, we could stay here all day if you want.
And you decided to be 12 noon your time.
Well, yes. You know, you could send me an email and verify that if you want. I have it scheduled for 12 noon, March 4th.
Right.
You know, Christiania has an event calendar that I keep up. Yeah, you know,
right.
I keep up my event calendar. You could always, it's right above the globe under other stuff. There's an event calendar. And you could always click on that, and that's the schedule I expect to have for the next week, right?
So,
next program I'm going to be on is, I hope, on the 22nd, the open forum. And I won't be here this weekend, of course. Eli is going to have Greg Howard.
Correct. Yeah, he told so.
Thanks.
Okay.
It's great talking to you, and I love you, and praise Yahweh, and I'll see you I'll see you on March 4th.
On the 4th. All right. Have a good trip.
And if you can bring another woman or you know what, we're more than welcome to, you know, to have a go at it.
Yeah, we can try.
Okay.
Okay, and Eva, have a good time.
I'll holler at Betty in an email or something, but if you see her, tell her I'm sorry she couldn't stick around for more of the program, and I love her, and I'll talk
to
her. Okay,
yeah,
all
right.
Thank you.
Okay, good things. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.